exhortation, if the Lord will help me and give me voice to do so. I want to try to encourage you that it is better farther on, and I thank God that it is. Amen. Amen. And it does. It is distracting to me. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and other things entering in chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That's what Jesus said. Mark 4:19, I believe it is. And the things of this world, it's not just chasing after riches, it's just the cares of this world. It is the demands of life and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and other things and just things, just life, just the things that happen to us every day, other things entering in chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. That is why that you have to have those quiet times. That's why that sometimes in your quiet time it's not all that quiet. I mean, even when you get to the place where it's all quiet. You ever heard of noise pollution? I mean, they tell me that so many car horns and automobiles and airplanes and everything else goes on that we have noise pollution. And that there's just a constant roar and racket that sets in. And as a matter of fact, I've heard of this tinnitus. Is that what they call this business? That you've heard so many roars and so many noises and you've heard so many engines are running and you've heard so many rackets that even when you get to where it's quiet, you hear a constant and a consistent ringing in your ears. And you know, that's where most of us are. Maybe not to the place of having some sort of disorder that needs to be treated medically. But in our lives, we've heard the sound of so many things entering in that it's a distraction unto us, even when we get into the quiet place of life. A lot of us, now it ain't everybody, but a lot of us can't hardly even go to sleep at night. I mean, the wheels is turning. I feel like a rat on a wheel a lot of times, like a hamster running on the wheel, running hard as I can and getting nowhere. I mean, just spinning on the wheel like a hamster on the wheel and can't sleep at night. I mean, last night I wasn't worried about anything, Brother Bob. Wasn't wound up about nothing. Had an easy day. It's the first easy day in a long time. I didn't work but 5 or 6 hours yesterday, and it's an easy day, seemed like. And I mean, got to the end of the day and then relaxed and not worried, not concerned. But when I lay down in the bed at night and the quiet comes, and listen, most folks can't even sleep in the quiet no more. I mean, got to turn a box fan or some sort of racket on just to sleep at night. And I mean, the noise are running, and I lay in there in the bed, and still all I can do is think about, you know, Monday such and such is coming, and I got this meeting lined up next week, and I got this church service we're going to go to, and well, this is what I want to try to preach on in the morning. Wonder what songs we ought to sing and who's going to do what during Sunday school and all. I mean, just a thousand different little things. Can't even wind down just to sleep at night like a cheap watch wound up all the time. I mean, tight as a drum. And listen, I'm not even a nervous person. I can't imagine how crazy nervous folks has got to get in this world we're living in. I mean, this is a world where other things enter in and hinder us from being able to hear from heaven. But thank God that there is a place farther on. There's a place where nothing will hinder. There is a place where we will meet with the Lord and that there will be no distractions. Now I seek His face, Brother John, and I'm so distracted many times that thank God that though now we look through a glass darkly, then face to face. That is, nothing will cloud our vision. Nothing will distract our view, but it'll be Him and Him alone. Hallelujah. And nothing will stop us when we get there from that free course of worship of the Lord. And I praise His dear name for that. Ain't that wonderful to know that there is such a place prepared for a prepared people? We're reading about it from Revelation 21. If you'll stand with us. and reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord this morning. Not going to share with you a new thought this morning, just something I've never preached on. We've talked about it. We've rejoiced in it. I've just never preached on it. Amen. And so I want to try to preach on what the Lord has laid on our hearts this morning and exhort you for just a few minutes from Revelation chapter 21. Verse number 1, the Word of the Lord said, "And I saw a new heaven." By the way, how about that? I saw a new heaven. Did you realize that's what we've all been wanting to do? Is see that place. And John said, "I done saw it." It's real, folks. It's not just something I read about or heard about. John said, "I saw it for myself." And one of these days, we'll join that number over on the other shore. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, friend. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem." He's giving us an eyewitness account, friend, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. "And I heard," notice, I saw, and verse 3, "I heard." This is eyewitness, personal testimony. And that's not the message, but I just noticed it and paid attention to it, so I'm trying to point out to you what the Holy Ghost is pointing out to me. Amen. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them.'" What a blessing that is. "And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Isn't that wonderful? Verse 3 promised us twice in the same verse that He'd be with us. John wanted to make sure you got that truth down, that you understood that truth, that God will be with us. Friend, heaven wouldn't be heaven, even with everything else there, were it not that God is with us. But He said twice in that one verse that He will be with them, and then He said that God will be with them. What a blessing. And verse number 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Everything that was will be not. Amen. That's right. "And He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" I'm glad. Friend, some of these days, if God will give me liberty, I'm going to take my text, not this morning, but someday, in verse number 5, where it said, "These words are true." "These words are true." What a sermon that'd be to preach. Maybe you ought to study on it, Brother Matthew. "These words are true." Amen. "And He said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega.'" By the way, it's already done. I don't know if you realize that or not. God ain't going to give us heaven, and He's not going to make heaven, and He's not going to prepare for us heaven. It's done. Amen. "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of the water of life freely. For he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. Notice that He says that He has given this promise twice as well. In verse 3, "And He shall be with them and be their God." And again in verse 7, "And I will be His God, and He shall be my son." What a blessing that is. Now this is one of the sweetest passages of Scripture in all of the Word of the Lord. As a young preacher boy, I preached here so often, Brother John, that the passages of the Bible that I used at that time, the pages of that Bible were completely worn in two, and I had to tape them together, and I still have the Bible, and the pages
bridges are taped together to keep them from falling apart and from falling out of my Bible. And scotch tape is the only thing holding the pages in and holding those pages together. This has been a precious passage to me for all of my Christian life, and I thank God for it. Oh, what a city! Oh, what a land! For over 20 years now, I've looked for and longed for that place. And my desire for it today, Brother Bob, is greater now than it has ever been before. I have more invested over there. Amen. I have more loved ones there now than ever. I have more treasures laid up there now than ever. I've learned a little bit more about it. And the more that I know, the more I want to go. Amen. I tell you, I long for that place. I thank God for that place. I've fallen in love with that place. And the world counts it strange that we talk about a place where we've never been, and still we call it home. But that's what it is. It's home to us, friend. Oh, and what a place that it is. I love life, and I love living for God, and I love what God has put me in while I'm here. But I have learned it is better farther on. I'm looking for a city whose builder and whose maker is God. Hebrews 13 and verse 14 said, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Back when I was 13 years old, first got saved and called to preach, the Lord has shown me and linked to chapter 21 of Revelation. Hey, my friend, for the rest of my life, to Hebrews 13 and 14, here we have no continuing city. We're seeking for one to come. And this is the one we're seeking for. Here's the one here in Revelation 21. Oh, friend, this place where we dwell is not forever. This is a dressing room for eternity. Oh, thank God. This is a place to get prepared for what is prepared for us over yonder. And all of the saints of God live on the encouragement and looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I tell you, we're living on that hope. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Faith is not what you can see. It's what you cannot see. And the promise of it. Amen. Oh, friend, we live not walking by sight, but rather by faith. And we live by faith in Him. And our faith rests that this life is not all there is. That there is an eternity. And that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if in this life only I had hope, Paul said, I'd be of all men most miserable. But thank God we have a hope. It's not just an emotion. We have a hope, sure and steadfast, anchored within the veil, yonder in the heavens, sure in the Lord, resting in the horns of the altar of God, yonder in the heavens, anointed with the blood of Jesus, that says the price of the sin that I owe is forever settled, thank God. Woo! And the wrath of God is forever satisfied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can go to heaven because Jesus said so.
Amen. We rejoice so greatly in the hope of that land, not only friend,
because of what will be there. Oh, and I thank God for what will be there. I mean, Jesus on the throne, He'll be our God, and we'll be His people, and we rejoice over what will be there. I mean, we started talking to Caitlin last night a little about what I was going to preach on this morning, and then she said that there'll be streets of gold there, Daddy. I said, that's right. And she said, there'll be a crystal river flowing down through the middle of that place. And I said, that's right. And she said, Jesus will be sitting on the throne right in the middle of it all. And I said, that's right. And she said, I don't know what all else will be there. I said, hon, I know a whole lot of stuff that won't be there. Amen. We don't just rejoice in what will be there. We rejoice in what will not be there. Amen, friend. That's right. Oh, yes. Hey, it is better farther on. Oh, I bless His name, friend. It is a place of no mores. And so I just want to show you a few of these from this passage. Some of you can preach this message for me, and it won't even hurt my feelings if you preach it with me. Amen. That's exactly right. A place of no mores. This portion of Scripture tells us about some of those no mores and the blessing that He gives. The sage is said in chapter 21 in verse 1, when He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I'm glad there is no more sea over there. On that small island of Patmos, exiled for his preaching of the gospel of Christ, John must have gotten very tired of hearing the roar of the sea. The waters are coming in and out, the wind blowing, and knowing that the sea, friend, the sea separated him from home and all the people that he loved. Oh, I want you to hear that. The sea is tumultuous. It never rests, and it's never satisfied. Ecclesiastes 1 and 7 said, all the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. Did you understand the ocean never fills up? I mean, it doesn't matter how many rivers run into it. It never fills up. It's never full, friend. And it's always sloshing about. And my friend, the sea represents how impossible it is for man to get satisfied in this world. He's always uneasy about one thing or another. Even a river of blessing wouldn't be enough to fill a man's desires and needs and satisfaction in this life. I mean, we just can't get satisfied here. That's just the way that it is. There are repeated waves of emotion up and down and in and out. You may be at high tide today and at low tide tomorrow. Stormy waters are common in the sea. Sometimes the seas are even hard to sail. And there's always a threat of a storm. And maybe even that of sinking your vessel. The judge said, I saw a place. And he said, there was no more sea. Oh, friend, there's a place where you can be satisfied. There's a place where the storm winds will blow no more. There's a place, friend, where the waves will never rock the boat again. And that, friend, hey, there'll not even be a ripple on the calm of the waters of that city. Woo! Oh, I bless His name. You ever been to some of these places? Every now and again we'll go on a trip somewhere, and that they'll advertise at the hotel wheel that not only do we have a pool, but we have what they call a lazy river. And I don't know if you ever seen what a lazy river is. A lazy river is just a river that don't go nowhere. I mean, all it does is just kind of run real slow around in circles. You ever wondered where the river of life in heaven flowed to? I mean, it flows out of the throne. But since there's no more sea, it can't flow into the ocean, can it? I mean, there's not a sea for it to pour into. You think what you want to about it. I believe it's a lazy river, amen. I mean, without a wave, without a ripple, I don't believe there's any high currents. I don't believe, my friend, there's any not erroneous.
Yeah.
It's just soft and peaceful and smooth.
Yeah.
And when it flows where it's supposed to go,
yeah,
it goes back and starts all over again.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's the kind of place heaven's going to be.
Yeah.
And when you think the meeting's just about ended,
yeah,
it'll happen all over again.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think the day's done,
yeah,
it's just getting started.
Yeah.
When you just wonder how long can it last,
yeah,
he's saying for eternity.
Yeah.
Woo! I say it'll never run out.
Yeah.
It'll never run dry. It'll never run away.
Yeah.
It's a place of no mercy.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now you might think that analogy is not real spiritual, but you think of it, what you want to do, it is helping me. Amen. That's exactly right. There's no more sea. There's nothing for it to flow into. So I believe it's on a constant recycle and coming back and flowing again. By the way, it ain't going to never evaporate because it won't ever come a storm cloud there. Amen. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. Oh yes, friend. Oh, what a place. A place of no more sea. And then I find it's a place of no more separation. In verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Notice, no more death. Some claim that death is no big deal for the child of God. And it's true that we don't have to fear the crossing, friend, because of Jesus who will hold our hand. However, death is a very cruel thing. And we might as well be honest about that and not even try to minimize that. I tell you, death is a cruel thing. Death separates spouses. Our husbands and wives are parted because of death. Parents and children are parted because of death. Friends and neighbors are parted because of death. We as saints of God weep not as of them which have no hope. But it's hard, friend, to be separated from people that you love. Folks that you care about have already gone over to the other side. And we're here, friend, just still making our journey. Oh, but thank God, there is coming a place where the separation of death is no more. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I tell you, death has and holds power over us in this world, but it holds no power over eternity. Amen. And there'll be no more separation. All friend, folks that I've loved that have been so dear to me and good to me and have prayed for me and been a blessing to me. Time and again I've stood over the casket and tried to preach a sermon of encouragement and exhortation of my friend to the family members. But there's coming a day, Brother Matthew, when I'll preach my last funeral sermon. Hey, oh, but then, thank God, I'll preach a homecoming day. Amen. I mean, it will never be separated again. Hallelujah. I told you a while ago, the last time Tanya and I tried to sing that song together, and the only time we've actually tried to sing it together until this morning, his was at a graveside, and it cold and windy and spitting sleet and 22 or 23 degrees. Oh friend, and hey, it was so sad. It always is. A funeral is always a sad time, but then especially with that kind of weather, and it was almost like you could, at the end of the year, you know, and you could see the year dying out, and you could see all the trees around us were dead. Everything was dormant. The grass was brown. And here we were about to put this body into the grave and cover it with dirt. Oh, but friend, wow. Oh, it looked gloom and doom around us. And while everything was cold and dead, thank God we were singing. And my graveside still be singing, don't you weep, for one that's lost singing like we once did sing it. It's better farther on. I tell you, they won't even be a brown leaf on a tree when we get there. Friend, they'll all be green. The tree of life will bud and
give forth its fruit 12 seasons a year. All manner of fruit all year long. Well, bless His name. The grass will never turn brown. That's exactly right. Oh, thank God. Plants will not die. People will not die. Nothing will ever die. Oh, it's a place with no more death. I tell you, heaven's green all the time. Amen. Oh, how wonderful it is to know there is a place where there's no more separation.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. There is no more sea, a place of no more sea, a place of no more separation, a place of no more sorrow. He said, behold, He said, in verse 4, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. How the world is filled with hard moments. Marriages, friendships, families, all facing hardships. There is a place, oh, where this happens no more. Hell, there's a place, friend, where no children cry for a mother who's forgotten them to chase after a new man. There's a place where no little boy wonders who his daddy is. There is a place where no wife weeps over the brokenness of her family, and no person ever loses a friend. There is a place, friend, where there is no more war, no more fighting, no more strife, no more sin, and therefore no more sorrow. Oh yes, that's right. He'll wipe away all the tears from our eyes. I heard a holiness preacher say when I was a lad of a boy, it wasn't just that the tears would be wiped away, but when we got there, the Savior's going to touch our face. Woo! And that's a blessing too. Amen. There is a place, friend, where a little boy will never wonder why his daddy's got to stay in that prison suit anymore. There is a place, hey, where nobody will get a phone call and say there's been a car accident. There will be a place, friend, where there'll be no need of these things. It'll not happen. There'll be no more sorrow and no more crying.
We cannot fathom that.
In this life tribulation, ye shall have some. You're going to have trouble. Matter of fact, I'd venture to say, if I was to ask you this morning, you ain't going to have trouble. You already got some. Amen. My guess is there's not anybody here that hasn't got no trouble. Amen. And if there is, hang around Brother Matthew long enough and he'll make some for you. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, some folks have got trouble and some folks make trouble. Amen. Woo! But the Lord won't even let him do that when we get over there. There'll be no more trouble, no sorrow. Amen. Ain't that a wonderful thing? Then it says that there'll be no more sorrow. Then it says, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There'll be no more sickness. Neither shall there be any more pain. I mean, just this morning, I'm not making fun of anybody, and I'm not griping in any manner. It's just the truth. Just this morning, one's got a shoulder messed up. Another's got their back messed up. Another's got sore throat. Another's got a foot messed up. And here I was sitting on the pew thing, and I was doing pretty good. Brother Matthew called everybody to come down and pray. I didn't realize when I started to stand up, my foot had gone to sleep. And my back had got stiff as a board just sitting there in Sunday school. Amen. It's just the world we're living in. And there is pain, friend. There is sickness. I tell you, it is not a secret that the medical profession accounts for about 1/7 of the U.S. economy. I mean, people get sick. Folks get sick. People have pain. I tell you, everybody's got pain. And the older you get, the more this promise of neither shall there be any more pain. The older you get, the more this promise is appreciated. But there's a place, friend, where the hospitals and doctors will have no demand for their services. There shall be no more pain. Oh, thank God. Arthritis, cancer, heart disease,
tribulation. All these other sicknesses will be passed away. These things are difficult for us now. But thank God there's a land where there'll be no more. Oh yes. Did you know, friend, listen, there's a lot of folks on crutches that's going to heaven. But there ain't no crutches going to heaven. Amen. There's a lot of folks in a wheelchair going to heaven. But there ain't no wheelchairs going to heaven. There's a lot of folks in hospital beds going to heaven. But there's not any hospital beds going into heaven. There's a lot of folks taking blood pressure medicine going to heaven, but they won't need no blood pressure medicine when we get over there. Amen. I tell you, thank God, there'll be no more sickness.
What about that? What about that? Well, a place of no more. Notice verse number 7 now, if you still got your Bibles open. Verse 7 said, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." There will be no more sea, no more separation, no more sorrow, no more sickness. There's a whole lot I can preach. I'm just getting a few of them, but I won't say there'll be no more struggles. There will be no more struggles. Verse number 7 said, "He that overcometh." Not the one that's battling through. Not the one that's just fighting just to get along. Somebody said, "I don't feel like I'm overcoming." Well, when you get there, you will not just be overcoming. You will have overcame. Amen. That's exactly right. "He that overcometh." Oh, there'll be no more battling over there. Whoa, why are we here? We're told to put on the whole armor of God. My friend, but when we get over there, we'll lay the armor down and pick up the crown. Oh, friend, we'll lay down the cross and pick up the crown. Say it again. Some of these days we'll lay down the cross. We'll lay down the swords and they'll be turned into plowshares. We'll lay down the armor and put on the robe and crown and walk around. Friend, we'll have the victory crown. Everybody there will be overcomers. There'll be no more financial battles. No more family battles. No more battles of daily life. No more struggles of the other things entering in that chokes the word. I tell you, it'll all be passed away. He'll be our God. We'll be his children. And there'll be no hindrances between us. It'll not be a battle. Amen. While we're here, one of the hardest battles we fight by the time is this battle with the flesh. This old body of death. Brother Jeff, whether it's sickness in this death or in this body of death, or if it is sin in this body of death, one of the greatest battles we fight is with this flesh. It is with this body of death. Oh, but thanks be unto the good God of glory. When we get over there, no more struggle. And this body will be passed away. And we'll have a new body made in the image and likeness of Christ. And there'll be no more struggles. Amen. You've battled to pay the bills. You've battled to figure out where you're going to come up with the next monthly mortgage payment or bread. How you're going to buy bread and how you're going to survive. And every day you just have to trust the Lord to rain bread from heaven just like He did the day before. But there'll come a day, friend, when Christ Himself shall gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. No more struggles. No more struggles. I tell you, we'll work till Jesus comes. The dead will be gathered home. There remaineth a rest for the children of God. And then I want to say, chapter number 20 and verse number 10 sets the stage really for all that we've seen. Chapter 20 and verse number 10 of Revelation. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast
priest and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Oh, I bless His name. When we get there, no more Satan. Amen. No more Satan. No more devil. Maybe this is the greatest of them all, friend. Oh, just before our text opens up, Satan is eliminated forever. He'll never leave you alone in this world. But He'll never bother you again when you get over there. Oh, I bless His name. For a place of no more. A place with no more devil.
And I don't reckon I got it in the outline, but I'll say it's right. There'll be no more sin when we get over there. Amen. There'll be no more sin. Thank God. The devil wouldn't much like being in that place anyhow, because he wouldn't have no room for temptation. Amen. He can't corrupt that land. Oh, yes. This world he's a dwelling in is a sin-cursed world. But that place over yonder is a sin-free world. Amen. You ever went into these places and seen the sign that this is a smoke-free zone? That means you're not even allowed to pull your cigarette out and light it up while you're there. I'm going to tell you, heaven's a sin-free zone. It's probably a smoke-free zone too. Say amen right there. But it is a sin-free zone. Amen. When we get to heaven, it'll be a sin-free zone. Thank God. It'll be nowhere to be found over there. They'll enter into that place. Nothing that defileth nor maketh a lie. Amen. Well, what a place it's going to be.
A place of no more. Well, I'm done preaching. Tanya, if you'll sing that song maybe. This is just what heaven means to me. Something like that would be fine. Or if you got something else in your heart, whatever the Lord have you to do this morning.
Verse number 5, He said, "And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new."
Behold, I make all things new. What a place. What a day. Oh, how I do want to go. And I want you to go, friend. I want everybody to go to that place. But everybody ain't going. I wonder, are you ready to go? It is a prepared place. He said unto me, "It is done. It is done." It's a prepared place for a prepared people. I wonder, are you ready for that day to come? It's better farther on if you're saved. And I'm going to tell you, if you're lost, it ain't better farther on. It's as good as it's going to get right now if you don't get born again. It's as good as it's going to get right now if you're not saved. Oh, friend, but if you'll get born again, you can have a hope that far surpasses this world. There is a land far greater than this place. There is a land of an unclouded day. Oh, and I bless His name that I'm going there. If you need to pray here this morning, would you come? Stand to your feet, please. If you need to talk to the Lord, would you come this morning and do business with God? If you're not ready to pass from this world to a land better than this, now would be the time to get your heart ready and get right with God while the Lord's a dealing with you. Sing whenever you're ready. If you need to talk to the Lord, would you come? Hallelujah. No darkness over there. Hallelujah. No sun or moon. For the Lord Himself will be the light of that city. It'll be a glow with the fire of God. What will it be?
sing on. Sing on.
That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. And that John saw. We got an eyewitness account. Oh, friend. Thank God. One day we'll see Him for ourselves. Thank God I got a promise. I'll be there. Amen. Kentucky to camp meeting. Brother Ronnie Jones preached on Wednesday night on heaven surely will be a wonderful place. My Lord, what preaching. He got about 15 minutes into it and the place just blew up like my granddaddy said. His women, this is what my granddaddy said. He said it blew up like a stick of dynamite went off in there. That's exactly the way he said it, too. He said it blew up like a stick of dynamite went off in there. And it did, son, I'm telling you. It is on. Brother Jones got halfway through his introduction, and he said, I'll never get to the outline. He said, the Lord's just blew the whole thing up tonight. They're shouting all over the place, praising God. Brother Terry had already preached that night, Brother Terry Pace. He had on his overcoat back there, still wrapped up and all hot and sweaty and so forth, and commenced to shout, and he was walking on the back of the pew back there, shouting and praising God. Come down the aisle and grabbed Brother Jones up around the waist and picked him up and was toting him around the building while Brother Jones was preaching. And Brother Pace was a shout, and I'm telling you, the place is crazy. I've never seen such. It is the biggest mess you ever did see. And it was just a taste of what it's going to be like when we get over there. I mean, friend, if you don't like rejoicing and worshiping Him, you're not going to fit in over yonder at all. But oh, if you love that kind of stuff, what a place we're heading to, thank God. My voice will never tire nor grow old. Woo! Oh, I bless His name. I praise Him for it. While the ages roll, we'll glorify Him. I wonder if you've been obedient to what the good Holy Ghost would have you to do in the meeting here this morning. Ain't it been good to be in the house of the Lord? I never did make no announcements. There's a couple of them that's important. I'm trying not to get into this trend of giving you the announcements last because I want you to remember the meeting last, but there's a couple of them that's important. Tomorrow night, all week next week, they're going to be having a revival at Pine Ridge. Tomorrow night, a choir's going to be singing. Need for all of you to go. Brother Davy Shelton's going to be doing the preaching from up North Carolina. Need for everybody that can to go and be a part of the meeting and help us and sing with us and try to be a blessing. We don't want to be a wet blanket on their meeting. We want to try to help them with it and be a blessing for them. And so tomorrow night the choir's going to be singing. All of you that sings in the choir, go with us. Those of you that don't sing in the choir, go with us and hold a book and move your mouth and they won't nobody never know the difference. Amen. And so help us go tomorrow night if you can. And they'll start at 15 after 7, best of my knowledge. And this is it this afternoon, Sister Tiny, is that right?
Yes.
Next Sunday afternoon, Miss Tiny and her husband is having a wedding anniversary. They're going to celebrate out here in the fellowship hall and wants to invite all of you. 50 years. Ain't that a blessing? Living in a world where folks is dividing and parting and divorcing and can't get along and fussing and fighting and throwing stuff at one another. Ain't that a blessing? 50 years. 50 years. And so you come if you can next Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the fellowship hall and let them know how much you appreciate them doing that. All right. Take time to fellowship one with another. I got a couple other things I'll talk with you, but I'll wait till tonight to talk about them. They can wait. All right. Fellowship one with another. You can be dismissed. Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask one thing of y'all before you leave today? I would like for everybody.
children were killed in that youth camp, and those phones went off over in Norway, and other people were killed.
God have mercy.
Pray for those families today.
Amen.
Look how fortunate we are. Look at our children here. Can you just imagine, in just a few seconds, their children were gone.
That's right.
See them on earth no more. They're just gone. Yesterday when they got up, they never would have thought it in a lifetime. And then in a few seconds, it was over. We were gone. I can't imagine what our life would be without our children.
God do bless. Amen.
That's just weighing really hard on my heart right now. And I want to thank God for my family and my children and my grandchildren.
Amen.
And all of those children and all of